What do you want from a Thomas Cook holiday?
I want to chill out.
Ready for your massage, man?
I want adventure.
Want a great value late getaway this summer? With Thomas Cook, you can fly to beautiful sun-kissed destinations from over 20 airports around the UK. Visit your local Thomas Cook store today or go to thomascook.com. Conditions and credit card fees apply. Adult protected.
Wednesday, May 3rd, 2017, you are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, sports writer from Denver, Colorado. You know, we talk sports every single Wednesday. We do it in our own unique way. We try to apply some common sense to the top stories. We hope maybe we can make you laugh once or twice a show. You know, if you'd like to recommend the podcast, we would appreciate it. Let your friends, your family, your coworkers know. They can subscribe to the podcast pretty much anywhere podcasts are hosted. Go to iTunes, go to Stitcher, go to Podcast Republic, Google Play, Audio Boom, Blog Talk Radio, pretty much anywhere. I still have people ask me, where do I get the podcast? Pick a place, anywhere. And, you know, if you have a friend or family member that is like, I'd like to listen to the podcast, but I don't really understand podcasting things. I don't really understand how to do that. Just click share when you listen to the podcast, and you can send them a link, either a text or an email, and they can just listen to it right there. Super, super easy. You can go over to our website, dailydosports.wordpress.com. New articles go up every week. Had an article go up this week about ESPN. Going to be talking a little bit about ESPN today on the show. Also, make sure that you stop by our podcast network, rogueintel.com. Of course, Rogue Intel is a family of podcasts. You head over there. You're going to find new podcasts that you're going to like. So head over to Rogue Intel, check them out. Few new shows over there that are just coming on the network that you are going to like and get addicted to and listen to every week. If you've got a question, if you've got a comment, maybe you have some feedback for the show, maybe you need some advice, feel free to hit us up. You can find us at dailydosports@gmail.com. If you'd like to send us something, you can also find us over on Twitter or Facebook at Daily Dose Sports. Pretty easy to find us over there. Today on the show, of course, we have to discuss the NFL draft as usual. It was a crazy, unpredictable event. And NFL and NBA writer Dylan Brooks is actually going to stop by. He'll be here soon. And we will give you a few winners and losers from the NFL draft. Plus, we will make our picks for the second round of the NBA playoffs as they are getting going. And as usual, you've got to make sure that you stick around for our Daily Dose Top 5. Telling you right now, the Daily Dose Top 5 is an interesting one today. Got to make sure that you stick around for that. But first, let's talk a little bit. Not very much. Let's talk a little bit about the Stanley Cup playoffs. Okay, we are learning so far in the Stanley Cup playoffs that home ice doesn't really mean that much. So far, home teams are struggling. Over in the East, of course, we have the Washington Capitals versus the Pittsburgh Penguins. And the Capitals seem to be doing what they usually do and melting down in the postseason. And honestly, a good portion of the reason that they are struggling is the poor goaltending that they're getting from Braden Holtby. Right now, he is getting soundly outplayed by Marc-Andre Fleury. And as a result, the Capitals are down. They're not out yet. It's not over yet. The Capitals are doing what we usually see them do in the postseason. Also over in the East, the Ottawa Senators and the New York Rangers. Ottawa is proving that they can win in different ways. And even when it's not their day, even when things are going your way, they still beat you. At least right now. You got a tight defensive struggle. You got a low-scoring game. Yes, goalie Craig Anderson was good enough to get a win in that way. You got a high-scoring shootout in Game 2 that you're down like two or three goals with just 3 minutes left. Yeah, they find a way to get that one too. Senators right now beating the Rangers. See if that holds up. Over in the West, we have the Anaheim Ducks versus the Edmonton Oilers. Edmonton is up early, but I'm not going to say this one is over just yet. The Anaheim Ducks have depth. And yes, they lost the first two at home. They got the next one on the road. But the Ducks are a deep team, and the longer this series goes, the more dangerous they become. And then in the final series, of course, we have the St. Louis Blues, who always fail in the postseason as well, and the Nashville Predators. And you know, the city of Nashville, I'm pretty sure, just found out like last week that they actually have a professional hockey team. You know, when the Predators beat the Blackhawks in the first round. So I don't know. They might actually start showing up to games. Like, they haven't really known that they... We have a team?
I had no idea we had a team.
Yeah, no, you do. You do, and they're pretty good. You might want to start going out to a few games because they're actually not a bad team. I think Nashville might beat St. Louis, and St. Louis is going to do what they usually do in the postseason, which is melt down and do nothing. Keep an eye on the Stanley Cup playoffs. I've told you, I can't watch NHL all year. I'm not geared that way. I wasn't raised around it. I wasn't born in it. When you have hockey in your veins, I understand that you can live, breathe, eat, sleep. I get all that. But I'm not that way. But when it does get to the postseason, it is exciting. And if you're not watching some of these postseason games, you truly are missing out some really, really fun games. Okay, I've told you before. I'm afraid to admit this. I'm a sucker for boxing. I know. Don't judge me. You watch embarrassing things too. And at least I wasn't watching some skank housewives show. But on Saturday, I actually watched the heavyweight championship fight between Anthony Joshua and Vladimir Klitschko. I know. And I'll even say this. I can't believe I'm saying this either. I was thoroughly entertained. Not just by boxing, but by a heavyweight fight. When was the last time that happened? The 27-year-old Joshua retained the vacant heavyweight belt with an 11th-round TKO of the 41-year-old Klitschko. If you didn't see it, if you didn't watch that fight, honestly, I wouldn't blame you. The fight was on at like 2:30 in the afternoon Mountain Standard Time because it was over in London where Joshua's from. But if you didn't see it, go see if you can find a replay of it. It was actually a very entertaining fight. Joshua knocked Klitschko down in the fifth round. And you saw him kind of start celebrating. Like, I did it. I actually beat Klitschko. I'm actually going to win this fight. Slow down. And it seemed like he kind of punched himself out in the process. And I think he genuinely thought, this fight is over. And so, like 30 seconds later, Joshua himself is in trouble. And I think he just ran out of gas. I just think he couldn't breathe. He got a little too excited and probably punched himself out. In the sixth round, the very next round, he went down. Klitschko puts him down. He finally got his legs under him, steadied himself. Yes, he had to clinch a little bit, and he had to hold on for a few. But in the 11th, Anthony Joshua knocked Vladimir Klitschko down twice before the referee stepped in and stopped the fight. Probably the best heavyweight fight I've seen. Well, I've got to go back a ways. Maybe Holyfield Bo back in the 90s. Hey, heavyweight fights aren't great. They're just not. It's tough because these are big, heavy, strong guys. And for the most part, we haven't had good heavyweights. We haven't had any heavyweights even of note to even talk about. You know, the Mike Tyson thing was kind of starting to tire out then. Lennox Lewis, Evander Holyfield, Riddick Bowe, starting to really go downhill. We haven't had any good heavyweight fights to watch. There is something special about watching a championship fight. And it's even a little more special when there are actually good heavyweight fighters fighting. And it was actually a good fight. It was actually an entertaining fight. You know, boxing gets almost every single thing they do wrong. And they had nothing to do with this going right. But they did get something right on Saturday. And Anthony Joshua, maybe, possibly, might be worth watching. I don't know if there's anyone out there, Tyson Fury, is he going to have a clean urine sample? I don't know. But Anthony Joshua might be worth watching. He was pretty entertaining on Saturday. Still is a little bit weird to me. I shouldn't admit this either. I really shouldn't say this on the show, but I'm going to throw it out there. It's a little bit weird to me. You're the heavyweight champion. This is bad. You're the heavyweight champion of the world. You're like the baddest man in the world, right? You're the heavyweight champ. You're the biggest, the strongest. You're the baddest dude. Throws me off when they're British. I'm not going to lie. That does throw me off just a little bit. When you're watching him, you're like, man, he's knocking Klitschko. Klitschko's a big dude. Joshua's just as big, a little bit more of a reach. And you're watching him, and you're like, man, he is a big, strong, that is a bad man. And then he gets on the mic, and I just felt like I was the better fighter today. I don't know what it was, but I just felt like when I threw my punches, I felt like he couldn't defend. I felt like he couldn't get in front of him. I felt like I was a little quicker. I felt like I was a little better of a fighter. Really? That's not, like, say what you will about Tyson. I understand Tyson had his own. But when he came out, I was like, man, I was the baddest guy in the ring today. You know, you couldn't stop me. You couldn't defend me. You couldn't hold me. You were like, no, he's kind of a bad dude, though. Like, it sounds a little bit weird, but he's kind of a bad dude. Same thing with Lennox Lewis. When they come out and you hear the bridge, man, you just don't sound like the toughest guy in the arena. Like, I know you're the toughest guy in the arena. You don't sound like the toughest guy in the arena. Okay, we haven't talked about this yet, but last week we saw another round of layoffs from the sports media giant named ESPN. Hey, folks, ESPN is right now failing miserably. And there are a few reasons that they're failing. It's not a mystery. It's not anything that we can't figure out. We can kind of put the pieces together and figure out why it is that they're failing. And there's probably, I don't know, three or four reasons that ESPN is in trouble. But ESPN is in trouble. And it might end up affecting you. Okay, first reason that ESPN is in big trouble. They overpaid for broadcast rights. Do you realize that ESPN ponied up nearly four times as much as like CBS or Fox or NBC? Here's the thing. ESPN doesn't have much in the way of production that they create themselves. They're simply the go-between, and they broadcast content to you. So they have heavy overhead on everything they do. They have this huge overhead that they had to pay for. Now, when they go out and they put on one of these 30 for 30s or something like that, then their overhead drops a little bit. But for the most part, they're paying this huge amount of money to bring you this event. They desperately need you to watch the event, because if they don't, then they're losing money. And they overpaid, and they're losing money. And the reason that they're losing money is for our second reason. They're losing subscribers. They're losing subscribers like LeBron James is losing hair. We are seeing people cut their cable cord completely. People are switching, especially this younger generation. When I was growing up, we wanted to get ESPN as soon as we could. Like, I grew up back in the days when I was a little kid, you had like three channels. Hey, can we get something else? Like, can we get TNT? Can we get TBS? Can we get ESPN? That was the thing we had to have. Not today. Kids today don't care. You know, last week, my son had to do a project for school. And in his project, he's in middle school. He had to kind of do the whole, why I have to buy a house and I have to support a kid and I have to buy my insurance and I have to pay for this. And it was kind of an economics thing where he had to figure out what he was going to get and what he was going to pay for. And I said, how'd your thing come out? And he said, well, good. And I said, well, what'd you pay for this and what'd you pay for this? And I'm kind of going through it with him and asking him. I said, well, what'd you pay for cable? He goes, oh, I didn't get cable. What do you mean you didn't get cable? I just got really, really good internet. I don't care about cable. And you know what? He's right. Because kids today don't care about it. They're going to Hulu. They're going to Amazon. They're doing the Slingbox thing, whatever. They aren't taking in sports in the same way. In fact, I'd go so far as to say the younger generation barely even watches sports like from beginning to end. They'll watch some snippets. They'll watch some highlights. And please, can you just let me know how my fantasy team is doing? Other than that, I don't really care. It's a little bit different than it was when I was growing up. And not to go all old man, get off my lawn, but it is. It's a little bit different than the way we took in sports. We'd sit down and we'd watch a game from beginning to end. Younger generation doesn't do that, and they don't do it necessarily on their TV. They might do it on their device. They might do it on their phone, or they might just watch highlights, but they don't care. So they're cutting the cord, and as a result, ESPN is hemorrhaging customers. They are losing customers right and left because this next generation does not care. Third reason that ESPN is failing, they've made some really bad programming and political choices. And you know, we make fun of those all the time here on the Daily Dose. All the First Take nonsense, the argument shows, less and less highlights, more and more opinion shows. And they feel contrived. They feel fake. You know, when I was younger, SportsCenter was the first thing I turned on every single day. It was the last thing I had on every single night. You tuned in, I wanted to see the highlights, I wanted to see what I had missed, maybe catch up on a game that I didn't get to see. Hey, what did Jordan do tonight? Hey, what did the Lakers do tonight? I didn't see it, but I could turn on and catch the highlights. You turn it on now, it's kind of hard to find it. Like, ESPN has turned into MTV. Remember, you probably don't. Remember when MTV used to actually play music? You can't find music on MTV anymore. MTV is a bunch of reality TV shows. And now she's 16 and it's her birthday party or whatever it is. They don't have any music television out there. Like, that's gone. And ESPN has kind of done the same thing. Many times, it's hard to find real sports on ESPN. If you turn on ESPN on a just a typical weekday, you don't find sports. You'll find Stephen A. Smith yelling at somebody. You don't typically find any real sports. And as a result, people are tuning in less and less anyways. I rarely turn ESPN anymore unless it's to watch an actual game that is being carried by that network. It's idiotic. I've told you, I could do a full show just on the stupid things they say on that network. In addition, they've come off as kind of pretentious when they're giving sports awards to like Caitlyn Jenner, who doesn't participate in any sports whatsoever. And then they're going to give you some gun control speech during halftime. Here's the thing. People watch sports to get away from that crap, not to hear more of it. And ESPN has done a very, very bad job of keeping that in mind. They have had their political affiliations come through in their broadcast. As a result, all this, ESPN is losing viewers. They're losing money, and they're having to lay off some very, very talented people. Last week, we saw a number of people, good people, people that are very, very good at their jobs, lose their jobs at ESPN. Now, you might hear all this. You might be listening to this. You might say, I don't care. Who cares? This doesn't affect me. I don't really watch ESPN that much. Maybe you're part of that younger generation. How is any of this going to affect me? Here's how. I'm going to tell you how ESPN failing is going to eventually come back to you. I told you that they overpaid for those broadcast contracts. Those broadcast contracts are going to be coming due again. In fact, in 2021, that's not that far off. What, 4 years away? Their NFL deal will be up. Who gets it? Right now, they wouldn't have the money to keep it. I could tell you that. So maybe we see NBC come back in. You know, right now they just have the Sunday night game. Maybe we see ABC get back in. That's possible. Or we see something completely different. Maybe we see someone like Amazon, or maybe we see someone like Hulu or Netflix get involved. And you don't just turn on your TV and see every NFL game that's on. You have to pay for that service or you miss out. Might be coming, might not be that far away, and it would affect you if you don't have those services. Something to keep in mind. Hey, we are going to be right back with sports writer Dylan Brooks to talk some NBA, and we will give you our winners and losers from the NFL draft, plus a very interesting Daily Dose top five you do not want to miss. We will be right back.
Table Read with Sean McBee and Trevor Thompson.
Do you like podcasts?
Hate them. Hate them to death. Don't want to listen to another one ever again.
Good. Do you like movies?
Hate movies. If I could, I would just listen to music for the rest of my life.
Do you like hating things?
Hate liking things, and I like hating things. I especially like answering questions from people I hate, like you.
Well, do I have the thing for you?
I don't know, but I hope you don't.
I have a hateful podcast starring me and you, where we hate on movies that never got to be made.
Hate, 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 hate. We wrote scripts, and we didn't make it, so we're hating on these ones that didn't make it.
Experience the worst Hollywood has to offer with readings of the scripts you never wanted.
Well, that's because they're hateable.
Hate, 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 hate.
They're terrible.
Table Reads. Every Tuesday, right here on the Rogue Intel Podcast Network. Or visit TableReadsPodcast.com.
Hate.
Hi, guys. It's Kim from Round Trip, the travel podcast where we share our stories and travel experiences. You can listen to Round Trip at RogueIntel.com.
Dear podcast listener, we accept the fact that we have to sacrifice not only our Wednesdays, but our Fridays as well to entertain you. But we think you are crazy to make us do a promo telling you who we think we are. When you listen to our podcast, you think you know who we are, in the simplest terms, in the most convenient definitions. But what we found out is that each one of us is a dork.
I had the basket case, and I'm a princess.
And I'm a pothead.
Does that answer your question? Sincerely yours, The Prime Podcast. Find out more at theprimepod.com. Think of the tender things
that we were working on. As promised, right now I would like to welcome back to the Daily Dose NFL and NBA writer. You can see his work over at cover32.com. That is an NFL website. Dylan Brooks. Dylan, thanks for stopping by. Always good to have you on the Daily Dose.
Hey, thanks for having me. Happy that the draft is all said and done, and I'm excited to talk about some NBA playoffs as well. Always ready to talk sports with you, Clint.
Well, let's do jump over to the NBA first. And one story that I want to just briefly touch on, Larry Bird resigning as Indiana Pacers president. That's a big loss for the league. You need guys like Larry Bird. People don't realize this. He's the only guy ever to win MVP, Coach of the Year, and Executive of the Year. That's a loss. I'm not going to stay on it, but I feel that a little bit. Like Larry Bird's, you know, back when I was a kid, and like I wish we could keep a guy like that around in the league. You need guys like that.
I agree. It's huge for the sport. And I know there was a lot of people that I was watching that series with who aren't big NBA fans, but big playoff fans. And just the mention of Larry Bird, showing him on camera throughout the series, it's huge for the NBA. To show that the greats come back and want to leave their print on a team in the league and show that they're not done, it's huge. And to see him, can't blame him after some of that devastating home losses against the Cavs, and they're playing just inspired basketball. I could see why that takes a toll, but yet sad to see him go out, especially on an 0-4 against LeBron and company.
Yeah, he looked miserable in that series, didn't he? Every time they showed him, he just looked like he was just like, oh God, I just got to get out.
I mean, when they were up 22 in game three,
right?
He didn't show a smile because he's been in a couple games like that, I'm sure, himself, and he knew that you couldn't get too high, and so I'm sure... In his head, up 20, thinking in his mind, if we blow this, I might be done. I think that's what he was thinking.
I would imagine. Let's get over to those NBA playoffs. What is standing out to you about the NBA playoffs so far?
You know, what stands out to me is how much I hate watching James Harden play basketball.
That's not where I thought you were going.
That's what stood out to me. I don't know if I can watch him play basketball. The pace of the game slows down almost times two. I mean, the game length doubles, especially in the fourth quarter, it's like an hour. And it's just annoying to watch 9 seconds go off the clock and watch him grab someone's arm on a three-pointer and get three foul shots.
Sure.
And then you go down the other side of the floor, and then the refs feel a little bit more like they need to blow the whistle for the other team because they're blowing it for James Harden every other play. And then you see James Harden's teammates get upset because they didn't call a foul, but the refs like, what, we keep calling fouls for James Harden. So it just makes it just a whistle game, and it's just something I'm not interested in. So for that reason, I don't know if I'm going to watch the Rockets play any more basketball.
You know, for me, it is how much better Golden State and Cleveland look than everyone else, although that's been kind of my initial reaction. But I think the thing that is standing out to me more as we get further into the playoffs is what a difference that we're seeing coaching make. You look at a team like Washington under Scottie Brooks this year. Just last year, the Wizards are a 500 team with Randy Whitman. Same thing with Houston, like you just talked about. Last year, they're barely scraping into the playoffs, and Mike D'Antoni has them playing pretty decent basketball, so much better than what we saw just a year ago. That's the thing. They didn't change that much in the way of personnel, either one of these teams, and suddenly they're going from just scraping their way into the playoffs to being in the playoffs and maybe possibly being a little bit of a contender in the playoffs. Okay, I got to ask you this, and we haven't even talked about this hardly on the Daily Dose. I hesitate to even bring it up. You have an MVP vote. Who would you cast it for?
Well, I know there's probably a million analysts that disagree, especially with the results officially being in with the Houston OKC game. But I think it's a clear, obvious pick for me. I think it's Russell Westbrook. When you drop that many triple-doubles, I mean, the title is most valuable player. And for me, in my perspective, when I see that title, it's not what player's doing the best, but what player do you take away from a team, and then what does that team look like after that player's gone? What does their record become without that player? I think without Russell Westbrook, OKC's worse than the Nuggets. They're not even in the top 10 in the West. And when you watch that series, you saw how Harden would go off the bench and they would still be in the plus. And you saw his players make huge shots. We saw Nene, ex-Denver Nugget, by the way. By the way, there's a lot of ex-Nugget falling out in the playoffs, which is frustrating me. But we're talking about a 40-year-old Nene going 12 of 12 from the field for 27 points. I mean, no one on the Thunder could ever fathom doing that. So I think it's obvious that the Thunder do not have help. Russell Westbrook does not have help. I think it would be best for the Thunder to clean sweep that entire, I mean, get rid of everybody except for Westbrook, because everybody is replaceable, even Oladipo. And I think that was a clear testament to how valuable he is. We're talking about a player who carried his team, I mean, just one win, dropping 50 points, 40 points back-to-back, with triple-doubles and still getting no help from his team, as MVP, most valuable player. He's the most valuable player to his team and in the league, I believe.
When you saw him come off the floor, and I know Billy Donovan, it was bizarre. Billy Donovan actually took heat for taking him out. Like, what's he doing? He's taking him out. Well, he can't play 48 minutes. I know he likes to think he can. You got to take him out at some time. And when he came out, the drop off that we saw from that team was astounding. They could no longer compete when he wasn't in the game.
Yeah, everyone on the team was just kind of looking around like, are you going to step up? Do I need to step up? Everyone was allergic to offensive production. And it was just frustrating to see. And what a lot of people don't understand is they were having him play a lot of minutes. And with a lot of minutes comes fatigue. And with fatigue comes a lot of missed shots. And with a lot of missed shots shows that his box score has bad efficiency as far as make to miss. Even though if he had one player that could come on the court and make a couple baskets, it would be a completely different series, a completely different box score for Russell Westbrook. So, yeah, that was frustrating to watch, especially when everyone's like, well, he went 1-for-10 in the fourth. It's because he can't breathe.
It absolutely was. And you saw some of those shots that were falling early for him fail to fall late. There's only one difference. The difference is that he's run out of gas, and he's had to carry that team. And Victor Oladipo, I was expecting so much more from him this year. Every once in a while, you'd see a flash. Every once in a while, you'd see this tiny little glimmer of, hey, look, he might actually be a player. And then he would disappear again. And it never did work. You know, the first ever NBA awards show is actually going to air this year. June 26th, I think it is. It's right after the season ends. They're going to announce the MVP. They're going to announce Coach of the Year, Sixth Man, Most Improved, all those awards. You going to watch this event?
Why not? Especially after the last couple of years, we've seen a lot of exciting basketball, a lot of exciting players. I think we're seeing some of the greats play right now. It's exciting. Do we really need to see Jamal Crawford get, you know, another Sixth Man? We already know a couple of the votes where they're going to be. But it should be exciting, right? Why not?
Yeah, the thing is, there's nothing else on, right? You might as well watch it. Like, once the NBA ends, we have nothing else to watch. You've got like 2 months of baseball before the training camp starts for football. And that 2 months of baseball really doesn't have any repercussions. Like, the season is so long. So, yeah, I'll probably watch it because I won't have anything else to watch.
Yeah, we got to get our sports fill somehow. It's great doing the podcast, but we still, you know, got to see the players in the flesh, too.
I know. Okay, let's go through the NBA playoff series briefly. Before we get into, I'm going to ask for your pick. I'm going to ask you to pick each series. But okay. I'm going to give you a quick over-under on each one. I want you to bet an over and under. All right, our first series over in the East. Of course, we got the Boston Celtics. We got the Washington Wizards. And here's the over-under I'm going to ask you. How many points is John Wall going to average in this series? For the season, he averaged 23 points a game. So far in the playoffs, he's averaging 29 points a game. John Wall has gotten better. But against Boston, he struggles. He struggles. I'm going to put his line at, let's put it at 24. You bet in the over, you bet in the under against the Celtics in this series?
Well, if he's to help the Wizards beat the Celtics, and if he wants to put his stamp, which he has a chance to right now, not many people know what the Wizards are, what they're about, who's on the team, even though he's a huge player. If you know the NBA, you obviously know John Wall, Bradley Beal, Gortat, you know these players. But this is a chance, the primetime limelight. If he wants to put his stamp as a household name, as a player that can get it done, in order to be a household player, he needs to be in the Eastern Conference with the Cleveland Cavs, because there's no mistake, the Cleveland Cavs are coming out of that against Toronto. He needs to ball out, and so I'm saying easy over 24, just for the name on his jersey, for people to know his name on the jersey across the U.S., he has to. So
yeah, I'm going sake, the over. Marcus Smart plays him tough. Smart gives him problems. Going to be interesting to see.
Yeah, I think he has favorable matchups, especially with a smaller Isaiah Thomas. Just the defenders that they have for the Boston Celtics and the matchups that they can create on pick and rolls, I think. And he's had some of the best circus shots this year alone. So I think this is going to be John Wall's year where he's going to become a national name.
I want to see John Wall with a basketball race Russell Westbrook with a basketball.
I think Russell Westbrook wins the race and then also runs through the wall at the end.
See, I think Wall beats him. Wall is a jet.
You do?
Yeah, I think he's bigger, and so I think he covers more ground. But he explodes with the basketball. It reminds me a little of Westbrook. He's just a little bit bigger. I don't know. I think that would be a really, really fun race, though. Okay, who's your pick for Celtics versus Wizards? What do you got?
You know, a lot of experts see the Wizards as a team that matches up well against the Cavs. So a lot of people want to see the Wizards come out.
Right.
I think Boston has it. They're up 1-0 right now. Isaiah Thomas and that entire city's playing inspired basketball. When you go through a tragedy like that, it's no longer what it looks like on paper. Goes into that little thing called the heart. So I think they'll take it, and it'll be the 1-2 seed, Boston versus Cleveland.
How many games is it going to take Boston to win this?
You know what? After their scare with the Bulls, I think they're going to do it much, much quicker. I think the Wizards will only get one win.
Okay.
Even though I think the Wizards are an outstanding team and they're playing lights out, I think Boston's going to take the flack from, you know, the media out there in Boston, and Tom Brady will come in and give him a nice little speech.
Sure.
He's got his jersey back, right? So they're going to put those two home losses against the Bulls away, and I think they're going to win every home game and even one on the road. So I think 4-1.
Yeah, you know, I think we're underestimating Boston a little bit. And you saw the series with Chicago that you talked about, and I think we look at how they match up with Cleveland, which isn't very favorably, and we start to just say, well, they are probably going to be in a dogfight here, and they may even lose to Washington because Washington matches up better with Cleveland. But there's a reason Boston finished first in the East. I expect Washington to give them tough games, but I'm saying Boston, I'll give them 6, maybe 5. Yeah, I would agree. I think we're underestimating Boston just a little bit, and it's primarily because of that series that we just saw with Chicago. Let's switch over to the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Toronto Raptors. I'm going to give you an over-under. How many games will Drake attend? I'm going to put the line at 2. You've got to bet the over-under. Now, I'm going to tell you up front, I'm taking the under, but he could also attend as a Cavaliers fan. I don't know. We don't have to specify, you know, whose jersey he's wearing, but how many games will Drake attend?
That the over-under is 2.
Yes.
I'm going to say, just because I think they're only going to get 2 home games, I think they're going to do under.
Okay.
And I think he'll show up to the first home game. I think the Cavs will beat the living daylights out of him.
I do too.
I think he won't want his songs associated with the next beatdown, so he'll have a concert or something. He'll say he's busy.
He's got to get out. Any chance that he shows up in Cleveland wearing a LeBron jersey? Could that happen?
I could easily see that. He's all about controversy. I think he's with J-Lo, or I don't pay attention to all that, but.
I don't either, but I know he jumps on bandwagons.
Yeah.
He's a Kentucky fan. He's a Toronto fan. I think he's a Patriots fan. He's a fan of whoever's winning at the time. Okay, who's your pick?
Drake's a bandwagon guy.
Yes, he is. Who's your pick, Cavs or Raptors?
Cavs, and I'm going to say 4-0.
4-0? Ooh, I like that. I'm going to give the Raptors one win. I'm going to say they get one up there. Maybe.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah.
I think very PC of you.
I think it's wishful thinking.
Yeah.
The only thing I will give Toronto's not afraid of Cleveland like they used to be. I do think the last year or two, they looked at Cleveland and say, we can't even compete with those guys. I don't think they look at them quite that way this year. I just don't think that they're good enough.
Yeah, I mean, DeRozan got paid. He's looking like a superstar over the next 3 years. Kyle Lowry's hit or miss. If he's hot, then the team has a chance to go to the last 2 minutes of the fourth quarter, make it something. But I think it really depends on Kyle Lowry and his decision-making and just his percentage on the court as far as makes to misses.
Yeah, and I still don't trust a guy that's been out for so long with that wrist injury. We'll see if Lowry can step up. Let's switch over to the West. We've got the number one Warriors, and the Utah Jazz win a playoff series, take the Clippers out. I don't know what that means to the Clippers. Maybe they've got to rebuild. Maybe they've got to do some things. But you got to give some credit to Utah. Here is the over-under on this series. How many losses before Steph Curry shaves off that awful beard? I'm going to put the line at 1.5. So it's not just one. It's the 1.5. If they were to lose 2 games, will he cut that terrible beard off?
Yeah, I think after 2 games, he's going to have to change something up. I can't believe, you know, Miss Curry is allowing that. I can't remember if his brother's rocking some facial hair with the Mavs during the season.
Yeah,
but yeah, it's
right.
Definitely an ugly look. And to the Jazz, I mean, it just sucks that the Jazz have to play Golden State right now, because I really think the Jazz, if they were playing either the Spurs or the Rockets, I think they could have beat one of those teams legitimately. I would put money in Vegas odds sporting books that Utah could come about, because the Jazz are a team. I mean, make no mistake, these guys can ball, and not just consistency, but clutch. These guys can make the shots when it matters, unlike the Clippers, unlike the Pacers are able to, unlike the Bulls are able to. I mean, Rodney Hood is calm, cool, and collected. Gordon Hayward's dropping 30 a night. ISO Joe, I don't need to tell you about Joe Johnson. I mean, the confidence in him late in games, they just get him the ball and he makes shots. George Hill, Boris Diaw, you go down the line, that is a complete team. If they were not playing the Golden State Warriors, I would say that they would actually win, because I think they're that good and that much of an underdog. But the Warriors are obviously, I think, the better team in this, and they're going to pull through just because of their depth alone. But Utah has got some depth there, and that's an exciting, fun team to watch. if you're not a basketball fan, you don't know much about the Jazz.
Well, and it's funny because everybody talks about, well, the Clippers didn't have Blake Griffin. Hey, the Jazz did it primarily without Rudy Gobert, and he is a guy that changes the way they look, especially defensively, so much. They've done it without him. So it's not just that the Clippers were without Blake. Utah is a pretty good team, and we talked about this on the Dose a few weeks back. Utah is that team. They're kind of built for the postseason, right?
Yeah, exactly. And as of now, I'm a Warriors, not a fan, but I just love watching good basketball, good marquee players.
Yeah.
You know, I got the Curry's shoes, you know, so that gives me plus 10 3-point.
I didn't even realize you were in the nursing profession.
Yeah, so I could see this going 4-2, even 4-3, but at the end, Golden State pulling it out.
Yeah, I like watching Golden State play. I like the way they space the floor. I like the way they move. And I actually like the way Draymond Green is just so intelligent defensively. He's always just a little bit ahead of everyone else defensively. I know there's a lot of people that hate the Warriors. I understand it. They bring in Durant and the rich getting richer. I get it. They're fun to watch, though.
Oh, man, they are so fun to watch. And I'm going to get on my soapbox about Draymond Green because, once again, just a sensational player who literally gets no credit just because of the superstars around him. He is so vital to that team.
Yes, he is.
I mean, his defensive presence, his emotional presence are two things that don't go on the stat sheet ever or talked about. He's a stud. Can't get enough of Draymond Green. He's great for basketball.
If you take your eyes off the ball when the other team has the ball and you just watch Draymond and his positioning, he is never out of position, and he's always a step ahead of what the offense is getting ready to do, and he moves to the correct spot. He is a highly intelligent defensive player, and I don't know that he gets the credit for that, because everybody looks at his antics, everybody looks at him getting technicals, and I understand that. And sometimes he's has, you know, the emotions of like a 13-year-old, but dude is a very, very intelligent basketball player. No, he's fun to watch. I do like watching the Warriors. I'll take the Warriors in five, but I think Utah could be kind of a pain and kind of drag them down a little bit and at least challenge them, which might be good for them. Yeah, I think it might help them.
Yeah, it'll be a challenge. And if any young guys and gals listening that are trying to make their high school, college basketball team, pay attention to Draymond Green and Danny Green for the Spurs on their defense, especially when they're man down as far as 1v2s, 1v3s. I mean, these guys understand the exact 8-inch by 8-inch box that you got to be standing on the floor to be positioned perfectly. It's fun to watch. Their basketball IQ is almost maxed out. It's fun to watch them, and that's a great way to make a team, is to understand what those two guys do defensively.
Yes, it is. In that series over with the Spurs, San Antonio versus Houston, here is your over-under. How many times per broadcast will the word tempo be mentioned? I'm going to set the over-under at 51,000.
You know, I think it'll go over that.
See, I do too. I'm betting the over.
Also, and then I'll parlay that over-under with 51,000 fouls called on James Harden throughout the series as well, and I'll say it'll go over on that as well.
Okay, who matches up with Harden for San Antonio? Who do they put on him? Did they put Green? Did they put Kawhi?
I think you got to rotate both. I don't think, you might not even put either of them on, just because you don't want to get in foul trouble because of the number of offensive fouls that he gets his way.
Yep.
Obviously, they're going to rotate between the two, but you might see even a third player on him throughout the series just to take those fouls off of Leonard and Danny Green because they're so vital to the team, and they can't be taking more fouls, especially against a James Harden. That's just a frustrating foul that can really get you out of your game emotionally.
He's so funny to me because watching him always makes me think a little bit of someone like Manu Ginobili, who he would always lean right, lean right, lean right, but you knew he was going left. You know Harden's going left. You know he's going left. The only move he has going to his right is that pullback shot that he'll shoot to his right. He's going left every time, but he gets you to think, I just might go right this time. And as soon as you lean, he's gone and he goes left yet again, even though you knew that was the only way he was going to go.
Yeah, you can, as much, you know, negativity as I brought on here about James Harden, obviously his basketball IQ is substantially higher than everybody else's. And that's the reason why they're third seed, because he's bringing a high basketball IQ to everybody else. You can even see people like Beverly doing the exact same things that he's doing to get the same calls. You're out of your mind to think Harden's not at practice telling people, all his teammates, exactly what he's doing to draw these fouls.
Sure.
But Harden goes right, does this pull-up, he does his Euro step inside, and then hits the three all in the first quarter. Once he hits all those shots, as a defense, you can't do anything because If you pull up for his three, he's going to get you on a foul, three free throws. If you let him blow by you, he's going to run in for the charge and then flail his arms up in the air and make his beard vibrate and get a foul there. So there's really no way to play him, which is why I can't stand watching the Rockets play anymore. But make no mistake, it's because his IQ is on another level. And when you're playing against the San Antonios, the Golden States, you got to have an edge. You got to have a secret sauce. And they're using the ref whistles thing this year to their advantage. So props for him for that. But I can't watch it.
You know, the one thing that I give James Harden a lot of credit for, if you watch him, and obviously with D'Antoni coming in, I knew that it would improve Harden as a player. I knew it would improve him as a point guard. He's made much worse players look better. You think back to Raymond Felton. You think back to Jeremy Lin. Mike D'Antoni can coach his point guards. But when I watch James Harden, and he does go drive and kick, which he does a lot in that offense, watch where that pass hits their shooter. It's rarely low. It's rarely high. It is usually directly in their shooting pocket. He's a much better passer than I ever dreamed he would be. Okay, what's your pick? Spurs versus Rockets. Who's going to get the win?
Just because I don't want both ones and twos, and just to show the listeners that I'm not biased, I will say the Rockets, just because I think Harden is playing great basketball. I do not think he's MVP, only because Russell Westbrook has been playing at just as high, if not a higher level. If Russell Westbrook gets about 9 less triple-doubles, I think it's a guaranteed MVP for Harden. But I think we could see an upset in that. And I think the Rockets are going to make that a 7-game series and win.
Okay, you're going Rockets. You know, I'm kind of cheering for Houston because I think Houston-Golden State would be a really fun series. I think it would be up and down and very, very fast-paced. I think if Tony Parker can continue to play like he is, and I don't think he can, but if he does, I think the Spurs can win this thing. I think the Spurs could beat them in 5 or 6 if Tony Parker can play like he did in this last series. And I know Memphis will slow you down and make you ugly and muck things up. But Tony Parker played pretty well in that series.
Yeah, and he better because of all the rest he got during the season.
Yep.
But yeah, he's a superstar, and he showed it, and he was clutch. He made the plays that CP3 should have been making, which is why the Clippers didn't win their series. So yeah, Tony Parker's playing. I mean, everybody's playing great, and the Spurs is being, you know, it's a Pops team. Everyone's doing well over there.
Yeah, they are. Okay, you're going Rockets. I'm going Spurs, but it will be interesting to see how that shakes up. All right, let's go over to the NFL draft. Of course, the NFL draft took place over this past weekend in Philadelphia outside. The scene was insane. It was truly crazy. We saw crazy moves. We saw crazy fans. We saw ex-Cowboy Drew Pearson get up there and give a crazy speech. We saw a little bit of everything at the NFL draft. We are going to discuss some winners and losers of the NFL draft. Yes, we could just go out and say this team or that or whatever. We're just going to go through and give a few winners and losers from the NFL draft. You got a winner from the NFL draft this last weekend?
I got a winner. I got a few winners.
Give me one of them.
I really, really liked L.A. Chargers draft.
It's hard to say L.A. Chargers.
It is. There's three new city teams.
I know.
You know, you got the L.A. Chargers and then the L.A. Rams.
Yeah.
The Las Vegas Raiders.
Vegas Raiders, yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah, so it's going to be a little different here. But first, I was telling you before we started recording that I wish the Broncos had just swapped everything that the Chargers did because I like just their picks. I love protecting their quarterback and Phillip Rivers. They got a lot of offensive linemen. They got their first round wide receiver Mike Williams, who's a tall, huge threat. I mean, how many Mike? It seems like there's just a tall Mike Williams every 5 years in the draft.
Absolutely.
He reincarnates himself and comes into the league. And they're always good. Mike Williams is always a good player. But I thought the Chargers killed it. I mean, they got their two guards to protect Phillip Rivers as he comes down the stretch of his career. They added weapons for him. And they actually got a huge addition for their safety play, which they desperately needed, especially in our division now with the Raiders slinging it every 5 seconds. And the Chiefs playing, you know, dink and dunk passes with their shifty little players. So
right.
As far as the division and the picks that the Chargers made for their need and not stretching up or down the draft for that need, I think they killed it.
Yeah, I liked what they did too. They had a really nice draft, and I don't know that I liked what they did so much so far in free agency, but I did really like what they did in the draft, and they went and got some weapons that they desperately needed. I'm going to give a winner to Mitchell Trubisky. Mitchell Trubisky played 13 games. Wait, he played 13 games in the ACC. Wait, he played 13 games and went 8-5, losing to Duke, Carolina State, and a very overrated Georgia team. Chicago traded a ton to get him. Mitchell Trubisky had better be good. I don't know if he is. I don't know what he is. I don't have any idea what he is. Nobody else does either. But hey, no, dude's a winner. He was the second overall pick in the draft.
I mean, let's look at historical data. When teams draft quarterbacks this high who have had a season to play, it's not a very good track record.
It's very hit and miss.
It really isn't. I mean, it is way more miss than it is hit.
Yep.
And I don't have a problem with it, only for the simple reason that I have a ton of friends from Chicago, and this just gives me more ammo and more just, you know, negative fun talk I can use for them. So it just gave me more ammo in my day-to-day with my friends. I don't know what they're doing. I don't know what the Bulls are doing. I don't know what this entire city of Chicago is doing, aside from the Cubs.
Doesn't it kind of feel like the Bears have said, hey, the Cubs won. We don't have to worry about what we're doing. Everybody's watching the Cubs. Who cares?
Yeah, and it's just like, I understand if you thought that he was a quarterback of your future and the great quarterback that you need.
Sure.
But when you get rid of those amount of picks and you jump and make that big of a splash to number two.
And moved up one spot.
Too high expectations on a player.
Yeah, it was weird. That was really weird. Okay, give me one of your losers. Who do you have for a loser?
You know, the number one rated team is my loser, and that's the Cleveland Browns, only because everyone had, you know, the Browns, from a stat point, from, if you look at it on paper, they killed it, right?
Yeah, they made trades, they moved up, they got picks.
They got picks. They got 11 picks, I believe, for next year, so they have right now the most draft picks for 2018.
Right.
So they secured their second, their future, but then they go and do something silly. They draft a Notre Dame quarterback, which they've done before, which didn't pan out in Brady Quinn, and as one of the four NFL teams that have not even been to a Super Bowl, let alone win one, they're a loser for me until they prove that they can at least make it to the big dance. And the only good thing about the Browns is that they still have Brock Osweiler, which Steve Smith, the now retired wide receiver from the Panthers and Ravens, called the goodwill of the NFL. So the fact that they're sticking it to Brock Osweiler is awesome, but I just, we don't know what we have in DeShone Kizer, and when you've been the worst team in the league for 50 years, you know, you can't really win at anything, even if it is the draft.
Well, and here's the thing, and just what you said, they got a ton of picks. They racked up picks. They're stockpiling picks. The problem is we have a history and we have seen what they've done with those picks in the past. I have no reason to think that they won't go get Tim Couch. They won't go get Johnny Manziel, and they won't just botch all these picks too, because they've been doing it for years. So yeah, it's kind of a wait and see. Maybe you made good moves. I don't know. I can't tell.
And I think as the city, it's just cursed.
Yep.
There's nothing to do in Cleveland. You're drafting young kids who are, they have to be the face of Cleveland because there's nobody in Cleveland. So as soon as you make a draft, they are the face of the football team.
Yep.
I mean, you see it in guys like Josh Gordon, who was the greatest wide receiver for an entire NFL season, 1,600 yards, unstoppable. And then he has his lead problem. And then Johnny Manziel, youngest freshman ever to win the Heisman. And then they just, oh, you're a superstar. You got an ego. We got to ruin your ego. It's Cleveland. What are they going to do? You got to let these guys do them and just hope they produce on the field and, you know, don't cause much off-field disturbance. But it's Cleveland, and I think when a player is drafted there, the mindset is oh gosh, I gotta get out of here, my career's ruined.
Right. No, I was sitting there watching the draft and they were showing that Cleveland war room, and I was just thinking, when you think of the historical horrible picks that have come out of that specific room, it's like a haunted room just looking at that draft room. Just brutal. I'm going to give you a loser. My loser, I'm going to go right back to Chicago. Chicago Bears coach John Fox. First, the Bears pay way too much to go get Mike Glennon, but then we're thinking, well, okay, they got their guy. I mean, they paid a ton for him, but they went and got Mike Glennon. Then they trade all these picks to move up one single spot to get Trubisky. The guys making these idiotic moves, they're John Fox's boss. John Fox's job is in their hands. John Fox cannot feel good about what is going on in Chicago. All right, Dylan, give me another winner that you have from the draft.
You know what? I think it would be silly for me to not have the Super Bowl chance from last year in the Patriots as a winner, and I'll tell you why. A lot of people are thinking, wait, Dylan, you know, that they didn't have any picks. How can you give them winners when they had no picks?
Right.
Well, they got all their picks in the form of trades before the draft even started.
Yep.
Brandon Cooks, a huge addition to the team from the Saints. That's going to pay off tremendous dividends for them. And that was, I believe, a first rounder that they would have had. Then they got Coney Ealy, who I don't know if you remember from Super Bowl 50, but had 4.5 sacks an interception and played lights out against the Broncos.
Might have been the MVP if the Broncos don't win that.
Oh, would have been 100% would have been MVP, and it's sad because no one really even knows his name to this day. If Von Miller doesn't make the plays, makes Tony Eley's the Super Bowl MVP.
Yep.
And then they added Mike Gillisley because it looks like they're probably going to get rid of LeGarrette Blount, and they got rid of him for a fifth rounder. Yeah, they didn't draft, but they used those picks to get talent, and you know I think Bill Belichick kills it again. And just his three picks that he got the need that his team needed. That's what teams don't do. They don't get their need. They just get a guy because he's rated on the board and he's a high ranked player and they don't want anybody else to get him. You got to get need, and the Patriots obviously can do that because of the establishment that they've made that it's next man up, do your job.
No, I like what they did. How could you not? It seems like everything that they do, at least right now, is turning up exactly perfect, and everything they do right now, everything they touch somehow turns to gold. I just can't wait for that karma to come around, but we'll save that for another day. I'm going to give you a winner. I thought, and I didn't know what to expect, I thought new San Francisco 49er GM John Lynch had a huge day, had a huge draft. He got a third and a fourth and another fourth for moving down one single spot. The Niners got the guy they probably wanted with Solomon Thomas. They also went and got Reuben Foster. I'm not sure about him. He might be a head case. They got Iowa quarterback C.J. Beathard, who I think might be a smart enough guy to fit in there. Not bad for a guy in John Lynch who is just in the broadcast booth. Yes, the Niners still stink, but it's kind of something in the right direction, wasn't it?
Yeah, and if you're a big fan of First Take and Stephen A. Smith, he was a huge advocate against John Lynch just because he had no resume, right?
Right.
You make a guy at GM who's never done it. He went from on the field to the sportscast to the network to now GM. And I think after what he just clearly showed, he's on to something. And you see the physical defensive presence that he's added, and the majority of their picks were all defensively.
Yep.
I'm now excited to watch the 49ers play because we all know what John Lynch was like as a player. And we know that kind of rough and tough attitude that he's trying to prove. And again, having no resume now, he's got that added chip on his shoulder that he had as a player. I think the 49ers are going to be a really fun team to watch. And when you don't jump up for a quarterback that you need and you just let him be where he should be in C.J. Beathard, I think he could be a good quarterback. Probably won't get the opening day start, but I like what Lynch did, and you're right. To get that number of picks just to drop.
That was insane.
One, it doesn't make any sense. So I think everything we thought about John Lynch not being ready is out the door.
Well, he's a smart guy.
Yeah.
All right, give me a loser.
Oh, I got plenty of losers. You know, and I go back and forth. I think Leonard Fournette is a loser. I think not him as a player. Not him as a player. I think the team he got drafted to was a losing situation.
That's
for
funny. I've got him down as a loser, too.
Yeah, the Jags, they had Chris Ivory. He's kind of the same kind of player as far as physicality. And so I don't really see Leonard Fournette doing more production than him.
Right.
Especially as a rookie. And then just to see their ebb and flow. I mean, they were so good 2 years ago. And then last year, they just couldn't. The Allen bros, they weren't getting balls.
Right.
So I think that for him, it's a loser. I think he's going to have a not as productive career for the first 4 years as we thought that he would have in the NFL.
Here's my problem with Leonard Fournette and why I have him down as a loser. He's going to be expected to revive the career of Blake Bortles. Oh. Good luck with that, because I don't think anyone can revive that career. I guess if anyone can, it would be him, but I don't see anything from Blake Bortles. Like, I don't get it. I know everybody gets excited about him. I don't understand it, but good luck, Leonard Fournette, trying to revive that. All right, give me one more winner.
I got to go with a team that's never been to the big dance. They have been, but they have not won a Super Bowl. That would be the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, I like that.
That's how we could do last year. The running game's spectacular. They obviously needed wide receiver threats, a little bit of defense, and they filled that need. Corey Davis, their first pick wide receiver, he played all three positions in college, from special teams, defense, and offense. You're always happy when you have a guy like that come in through the door. Then they got Adoree Jackson, just an elite cornerback. I mean, just an outstanding cornerback. He was one of the cornerbacks that really stuck out to me before the draft, and I think he's going to be a number one corner within the next 3 to 4 years where people are really talking about him as an island. And then they got another wide receiver in Taywan Taylor, who is kind of like a Brandon Cooks if you put him in the slot. Someone's shifty and quick in the slot. So Marcus Mariota's got some years under him now. DeMarco Murray showed that he's a top three back if you're playing fantasy football. So I think the Titans are looking good, and we got to get a Super Bowl for them. So I think they are on the right track. with the picks that they made, I'm really happy with Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, I liked what Tennessee did. They surrounded Marcus Mariota with a lot of weapons, and he hasn't had that many weapons. He's had to do a lot of things on his own, and he's been very good on his own. Imagine surrounding him with some talent. He's just going to be that much more dangerous. I'm going to give a winner to Taco Charlton. You know, Taco Charlton got drafted by
Cowboys.
Dallas. Here's the thing. Taco literally is the only Mexican food that works as a first name. If you think you couldn't name him Burrito Charlton, Enchilada Charlton, Chimichanga Charlton, none of it works. Somehow Taco Charlton, no, it's gold. I mean, it's the only one that works. Nothing else would have worked in that situation. His parents pulled out the one that did work. Nice job on that. All right, what do you got for a loser?
Yeah, just before my loser, I think Jerry Jones is obsessed with those unique names. You got Deke, Dak, Taco.
You're right.
I don't know.
You might be right.
I think they're going after names.
I think you're onto something.
Yeah, a team I like picking on is the New York Giants.
Sure.
For me, why you draft offensive talent that early, why you're getting a tight end for Eli Manning who looked like he couldn't even throw a football, let alone
right.
hold a football last year. You just added Brandon Marshall. That should be sufficient enough adding offensively with Odell Beckham Jr. And then they got a quarterback in the third round. So
yep.
I don't know really what you're saying for Eli Manning there. So they just really got nothing of value. They did not need a tight end. They did not need a quarterback. They got a defensive tackle. You can always use one of those, but they just didn't get need. And they didn't get anybody that was like, oh, wow, that's a big position that can fill and help us win a championship.
Sure.
They just got cool players. So from a draft perspective, I think that's a huge loss, a huge wasted opportunity, especially with Eli coming down this final years.
I would agree with that. I'm going to give a winner to Gerrion Conley and Joe Mixon. Conley was accused of rape right before the draft. She says he raped
yep.
her. He says they did nothing. Somebody's lying, and the DNA evidence is going to give us a hint as to who it was. There was some speculation that he might not get drafted at all. The Oakland Raiders said they did enough research and due diligence and that he passed a lie detector test, like that would be admissible or something. If they miss on this, there is going to be hell to pay. Then you have Joe Mixon, who socked a woman in the face in front of God and everybody. He got taken in the second round. Conley got taken in the first round. Bottom line, if you can play, unlike Ray Rice, you're going to get drafted. You're going to have a place. It makes no difference what you do off the field. There's literally nothing you could do that could keep you from getting on the field if you can play.
I mean, I hate to bring up one of our own, Shane Ray. I mean, he got caught with a joint. I think it was 48 hours before he was drafted.
Right.
And he was still drafted within the first 23 picks
yep.
of his draft. So, yeah, it's definitely not the best look for the NFL. I think everyone knows that lie detectors aren't even accurate. It's
right.
just based on your pulse, your heart rate. So, I mean,
it's just so risky.
It would be a Raider move, right, to get the dirtiest player in the draft from
right.
an off-field perspective.
It's just such a risky move. There is a chance your top pick in the draft could be in jail or could be, you know, dealing with this. It's just you're taking a huge chance. I can't believe they did it, but they looked at the talent and said, well, it's too much to pass up, so whatever.
You definitely don't want a rookie coming in and being the media center
no.
of attention for nothing that hasn't even been accomplished on the field. So that's why you've seen the Broncos didn't decide to go that route with Shane Ray, just because, I don't know if you remember, I was in the war room working for ESPN at that draft, and that was probably the first month's worth of headlines, and it was just an absurdity. And he's been great ever since, in the marijuana state, no less, with
right.
Denver, Colorado. So,
well, and the thing about that I looked at, I don't look at it and say whether or not he should have weed. The thing I look at it is it's right before the draft. Can't you have enough sense to put that away just for like a week? I just question your intelligence. I don't care morally. If you want to do it, go ahead. I just go, dude, you couldn't just put it in the glove box for a week? Just hold out for a minute.
Yeah, exactly,
all right, you got another
exactly.
loser for me?
Yeah, we can go ahead and find a loser. I mean, who doesn't like hating on the Los Angeles Rams? And this is my stance for all Kroenke-owned teams across all sports. I don't think they really give enough of a hoot to really go in and make a statement on the team to establish a culture, to establish a direction, because they just don't do anything. And I'm talking about the Nuggets, who have never been to a championship. I'm talking about the Avs, who haven't been good at a recent year, and the Rams. And they didn't have a chance to draft because guess what? They gave away all their picks for
right.
Jared Goff. who didn't even play till week 9 and was horrendous, the worst rookie quarterback in the thing. So you take it from last year to this year, I think the Rams are going to just stay a consistent loser for me, and it just shows how big a mistake it was to allow Jeff Fisher to do what he did last year. But hey, they got on Hard Knocks, right?
Yes, they did. I am going to, you know, I'm kind of torn on my final loser because I feel like I should have it be any females that find themselves anywhere near Gary and Conley and Joe Mixon, but I'm going to go a different route. I'm going to go with my final loser with Kansas City Chiefs quarterback Alex Smith. You figure he probably wanted some help. Yeah, the Chiefs did make it to the playoffs. Instead of help, not only do they not get him help, they go and get his successor and trade way too much to get that successor and basically say, Alex Smith, we're going to want you to go ahead and start training your replacement. Not sure what you had going, but can you go ahead and get on that?
Yeah, can we take a step back? Where is all this hate for Alex Smith coming? Why does everybody think this guy cannot play? I don't think people appreciate what he does. They just see the statute, oh, another, you know, under 200 yards passing, one touchdown if he's lucky.
Right.
I mean, the guy, I mean, let's look at his career. I mean, his last 19 games, 19-1-9 with the 49ers, he won 17 of those games.
Sure.
And then on a play that he was trying to get a first down and stretch his body, put his body in the harm, got knocked out, and insert Kaepernick, so then he goes to Kansas City. And ever since then, people want to say, the Kansas City Chiefs went on a 10-game impressive run. I think it actually was 11.
Yeah.
Of the last year to make the playoffs. And then this year, they were on fire, and it's because of Alex Smith. Guys, you cannot expect a rookie quarterback. I don't care how good his intangibles are. I saw Mohammed on Gruden camp. He doesn't seem to be the sharpest pencil in the box. But
yeah.
Alex Smith is more than a game manager. He does so much for the team as far as the quick passes, the decision making, he can audible and he runs. His feet are so hard, and as someone who sees him twice a year, he is so difficult to defend and he makes very little mistakes. I like a quarterback that doesn't make mistakes over the big highlight play. I like a quarterback that is mistake free and conscious of his mistakes, not an Eli Manning. So I think Alex Smith is great. I don't know if you remember the 49ers. He had a new offensive coordinator every year for the first 6 years. 6 years. You're watching in a new guy come in, like, all right, this is what we're going to do. Oh, this is what we're going to do. So, poor guy. I mean, big loss for Alex Smith. But I just don't understand where the hate comes from because he's a great quarterback.
Well, and it's funny because you watch Patrick Mahomes and he is the exact polar opposite of Alex Smith. He is not careful. He is not all that well thought out. He is a gunslinger and he fires it down the field. And I just have to think that Kansas City fans for the next probably 3, 4, 5 years are going to be going, yeah, I don't know if we realize how good we had it with Alex Smith. Because at least he didn't make typically the huge game-shifting turnover that destroyed our season. I understand. I get Alex Smith doesn't do flashy things. He doesn't put up big numbers. He usually wins. And there's something to be said for that.
Yeah, and I think on top of that, I think Andy Reid, he likes to open up the offense. We're talking about one of the best offensive minds, especially when it comes to passing, especially downfield. I think Andy Reid wants to have some fun. I think he's trying to upgrade his Madden Ultimate team. He wants a quarterback that can, you know, run off his back foot and make a far throw. You know, he came in his first couple of years. He's like, okay, look, I can establish a winning culture. I know how to coach. All right. Now that I got the back end and established myself with the fans that I know what I'm doing, now it's time to have some fun. Let's bring in the gunslinger. I think that's kind of his mentality.
You may be right there, and it's going to be interesting to see how that all shakes out. Dylan, another interesting draft. The draft is some of the best reality TV that we have anywhere, anytime. Every single year, it's always something unexpected and something crazy that we just don't see coming. And as much analysis as is out there, it seems like every year in the draft, we're surprised by something. I'm so glad that you were able to stop by, recap the draft a little bit with us. We're going to have you back in as we get a little closer to the season coming and, you know, get some predictions and get some previews of what's going to be coming in the upcoming NFL season.
Yeah, I appreciate it. You know, I think I might have to, I don't have a kid, but I think I might have to use my puppy and do what Garrett Bowles did, the Broncos' new offensive tackle. The next time I come on the show, I might have to just show my puppy.
Just carry him
on stage. Exactly. What a special moment. And we didn't touch on it, but what a great pick for the Broncos. I think a 25-year-old rookie offensive tackle is a great pick, especially someone who's a new father. So, hey, it's always a pleasure speaking draft. It'll be interesting to see how these drafts transition to be more outdoors in the future. And I'm sure you and me will be there to talk about it.
Sounds good. Hey, thanks for coming by the Daily Dose. You know you are always welcome here.
Awesome. Thanks, Clint.
Just a quick reminder. Make sure that you head over to lootcrate.com/dailydose and do any shopping over there that you may need to do. You might need to get something for Mother's Day here before it is here and you miss it, and then mom hates you. You know, Loot Crate delivers the merchandise right to you, and they feature your favorite TV shows, movies, and video games. You can go order a crate, you can go order a subscription of crates, or you can just go get individual items, and they have a ton of stuff from coffee mugs to t-shirts to hats to sweatshirts and hoodies. You name it, they've got it. Of course, this month's crate features items from Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, Star Wars, Destiny, and even the Goonies. And you can always go back and you can order past crates. If you heard about a past crate or you see a past crate on the website, you can go back and get that past crate. And of course, the best part about ordering is when you place your order, just put Daily Dose, D-A-L-Y-D-O-S-E, in your coupon box when you check out. You'll get 10% off of your entire order. We forward any of that money that we make over to the Billy Butts Lacrosse Fund and help some kids get involved in sports. So make sure you head over to Loot Crate, place your order. You're going to like what you get. Plus, you're going to know in the back of your mind that you did help some kids get involved in sports, and that is a very good thing. Now, as we do every single week, we've got to get to our Daily Dose Top 5. Look, I'm not a horse racing guy. I don't know horse racing. I'm not bringing much insight into the world of horse racing. Horse racing, at least to me, is kind of that sport, kind of like baseball. Maybe like in the early 1900s, it was exciting for, I don't know, white people. It's not that exciting to me. Now, having said that, I can, though, help you out with horse racing. And of course, this Saturday will be the 143rd running of the Kentucky Derby. I don't know if you've noticed this, but it seems like Kentucky Derby parties are getting more and more popular every year. When I was a kid, I never heard about Kentucky Derby parties. Even the last, I don't know, 10 years ago, I never heard about Kentucky Derby parties. Now it seems like it's kind of a big thing. Everybody dresses up. You see the frilly dresses, the big, huge, ugly hats. You drink the mint juleps. You pop a few mollies. That might just be Wes Welker. Whatever. If you are going to a Kentucky Derby party on Saturday, the Daily Dose wants to give you some help because that's what we do. And you know, some of these Kentucky Derby parties, you can kind of bet on who's going to win. Maybe you make your pick and you throw some money in the hat and the winner gets a share of the money or whatever it might be. We want to help you win your Kentucky Derby party if you are going to one. Of course, it looks like the favorites on Saturday are going to be Classic Empire, who is a very good young horse, finished third at the Holy Bull Stakes, Always Dreaming, who just won the Florida Derby, and then Irish War Cry, a three-year-old colt they say is extremely talented, not always consistent. Now look, I told you, I can't tell you exactly who's going to win. Those are the favorites. Those are at least the odds-on favorite currently. But I can help you in this way. Here's how the Daily Dose is going to help you. I can tell you who's not going to win the Kentucky Derby on Saturday. And that is pretty important too. Because what you don't want, it's kind of embarrassing. You go to one of these Kentucky Derby parties, you put in your horse, and then your horse is like, oh, look at your horse. He still hasn't finished. And it's like an hour later, the broadcast is over. Everybody's like, your horse is still not done. I don't know what they're doing, but still hasn't finished. You don't want to be that person at the party. So here is the Daily Dose top five least likely horses to win the Kentucky Derby on Saturday. Are you ready? Now, some of these, you know how goofy horse names are. Sometimes you have a goofy horse name. I don't know the background of these horses. I can just tell something about the name. I don't know what it is. Call it a, you know, sixth sense, whatever. I can just tell from these names, these horses aren't going to win it. Let me help you. Number five on our list of horses that aren't going to win the Kentucky Derby on Saturday has got to be Sabathia Knows Best. Again, I can't put my finger on it. That just doesn't sound like a winning horse to me. That sounds like a horse that's probably maybe a little heavy, maybe not quite an athlete. I don't know what it is. When you see that on Saturday at your party, don't pick Sabathia Knows Best. Number four on our list, another one that I can't put my finger on it, because I remember just a few years ago, I remember Smarty Jones was pretty good. Now, maybe they copied that. I don't know exactly what this is, but our number four horse not to pick on Saturday, Janikowski Jones. That doesn't feel like a winner. That feels like a horse that's going to be a little heavy, might try to slip something in your drink. I don't know. Be careful is what I'm saying. Be careful. Number three on our list of horses that probably aren't going to do so well in the Kentucky Derby on Saturday. And again, another horse that kind of, you hear the name, and it might even appeal to you. Like, man, that kind of sounds familiar. That kind of, but I'm telling you right now, Shakatariat, probably going to not do so well. Shakatariat seems like a horse that maybe bigger than our other horses, might be a huge horse, probably not going to win in a running contest. Maybe in an eating contest might win, but not so much in this. Speaking of a horse that might win an eating contest, has to be our number two entry, Andy Rito. Andy Rito. Is that really the name of a horse? I'm going to have to look that one up. I'm gonna check. Andy Rito. That's weird. Andy Rito is our number two entry, and Andy Rito is probably not going to win the Kentucky Derby. Don't pick that horse either. So what could our number one horse be? Few horses here, you hear the name, they kind of sound like, I don't know. Might be a, you know, familiarity kind of thing where you say, I don't know, that might be a horse that could run pretty good. You know, these goofy horse names kind of throws you off. But I'm telling you right now, our number one horse, I can just see it. I can just visualize it in my head. Do not pick our number one horse, LeBron's Hairline, because I've got a feeling it's going to fade down the stretch. Hey, next week, we will be recapping the NBA playoffs. Take a look at what's going on. Might have to talk a little bit of Stanley Cup playoffs. Might have to discuss just a little bit of Major League Baseball. And of course, the NFL is always in the news. And like you just saw, you've got to make sure that you stick around and check out the Daily Dose Top 5. You never know which way that's going to go. Hey, if you get the chance, please go to wherever it is that you download the show. Just click that little subscribe or follow button. And feel free to also just click that little share button and send it to someone who you think might enjoy the show. You can always contact us with what's on your mind. You can email us at dailydosports@gmail.com. And you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. Be sure that you do any shopping that you might need to over at lootcrate.com/dailydose. Enter Daily Dose in that coupon box at checkout. You'll get 10% off your order. I have to say thank you to you so much for listening. It is genuinely appreciated. Thanks to Dylan Brooks for stopping by. Always enjoy your visits. Have to say thank you to JSP. Couldn't do any of this without you. I will see you all next week.
What do you want from a Thomas Cook holiday?
I want to chill out.
Ready for your massage, man?
I want adventure.
Want a great value late getaway this summer? With Thomas Cook, you can fly to beautiful sun-kissed destinations from over 20 airports around the UK. Visit your local Thomas Cook store today or go to thomascook.com. Conditions and credit card fees apply. Hassle protected.